The Torah enlightens the eyes, King David wrote. Welcome back. Torah 101 Daily. Continuing in Leviticus, Vayikra, chapter 4, verse 27. If an individual, meaning a common man, among the people, commits a sin inadvertently, doing something against any of the mitzvot of Adonai concerning things which should not be done, he is guilty. So the idea of inadvertent or not on purpose sins still bring about guilt, though it may have been done accidentally. Why so much attention being focused on burnt offerings, sin offerings, guilt offerings, peace offerings? Adonai, the Lord, God of heaven, has brought his people out of Egypt and now is establishing who he is with them, that he is holy, meaning set apart, righteous, just, pure, and that sin will seriously deter a man or a woman from being in harmony with God. Serious. So the attention that is given to offerings for sin, whether it be on purpose or accidentally, these things must be dealt with. Why? Because God wants fellowship with his people. He wants to be one with us. And so the sin between us needs to be resolved. He wants us to be aware that we don't allow it to remain. Verse 28, if the sin he committed becomes known to him, he is to bring as his offering a female goat without defect for the sin he committed, lay his hand on the head of the sin offering and slaughter the sin offering in the place of burnt offerings. So the idea of a female goat or female animal is mentioned here. It is thought because the sin was accidental, and therefore a female animal was considered of less value than the male, from which they would, of course, mate and produce offspring with all the females. You could make a lot of money siring out your male animals to other shepherds. They were considered more valuable. So the female goat, again without defect. Verse 29, lay his hand on the head of the sin offering and slaughter the sin offering in the place of burnt offerings. The Kohen is to take some of its blood with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar for burnt offerings. All its remaining blood he is to pour out at the base of the altar. All its fat he is to remove. As the fat is removed from the sacrifice for peace offerings, and the Kohen is to make it go up in smoke on the altar as a fragrant aroma. Thus the Kohen will make atonement for him, and he will be forgiven. The fragrant aroma for Adonai, we continually see this mentioned. It smells good to God. It is pleasing to Him. He is happy that we become restored back to Him. Verse 32, if he brings a lamb as his sin offering, he is to bring a female without defect, lay his hand on the head of the sin offering, and slaughter it as a sin offering in the place where they slaughter burnt offerings. The Kohen is to take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar for burnt offerings. All its remaining blood he is to pour out at the base of the altar. All its fat he is to remove as the fat of a lamb is removed from the sacrifice for peace offerings. And the Kohen is to make it go up in smoke on the altar on top of the offerings for Adonai made by fire. Thus the Kohen, the priest, will make atonement for him in regard to the sin he committed, and he will be forgiven. All of these offerings were just the beginning, because they would eventually direct our attention to the complete and perfect sacrifice of Messiah. Again, without the shedding of blood, the scriptures tell us, there is no removal of sin, which creates a problem, because the temple in Jerusalem, where these sacrifices would eventually be brought, does not exist anymore. So clearly, God intending for a new covenant, Jeremiah chapter 31 tells us, a new arrangement. Otherwise, God's temple would continue, and the sacrifices would continue. But now we see and we read in Hebrews chapter 9, I'll read it to you. For if sprinkling ceremonially unclean persons with the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer restores their outward purity, then how much more the blood of the Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself to God as a sacrifice without blemish, will purify our conscience, our inner person, that is, from works that lead to death, so that we can serve the living God. Goes on in chapter 5, verse 1, if a person who is a witness sworn to testify sins by refusing to tell what he has seen or heard about the matter, he must bear the consequences. So inserted here is more regulations concerning the reliability and the honesty of witnesses, the integrity of the courts and the judges' rulings, equity and fairness, moral responsibility, refusing to tell what he has seen or heard. A witness today can be held in contempt of court. This principle, again, derived from the Torah that we are reading right now. Verse 2, if a person touches something unclean, whether the carcass of an unclean wild animal, or the carcass of a domestic animal or a reptile, he is guilty, even though he may not be aware that he is unclean. So these ordinances about cleanliness, not touching things that are unclean, carcasses, dead animals, and then going and entering the sanctuary or eating of the holy things, the Midrash teaches us. A person wasn't supposed to approach God with uncleanness. You see, the animal itself is just a dead animal, but it's a picture for him, a symbolic thing. That when you approach God, you are to be very mindfully aware of your personal holiness, cleanliness. For your soul, symbolized by the outward things that are unclean. Verse 3, if he touches some human uncleanness, no matter what the source of his uncleanness is, and is unaware of it, then when he learns of it, he is guilty. If someone allows to slip from his mouth an oath to do evil or to do good, and he doesn't remember that he clearly spoke this oath, then no matter what it was about, when he learns of it, he is guilty. So the keeping of oaths, Yeshua would later speak of letting your yes be yes and your no be no, that beyond that is of the evil one. Clearly echoing here the teaching of Torah. Keep your word. Person guilty of any of these things, verse 5, is to confess in what manner he sinned and bring his guilt offering to Adonai for the sin he committed. It is to be a female from the flock, either a lamb or a goat as a sin offering, and the Kohen will make atonement for him in regards to his sin. If he can't afford a lamb, he is to bring as his guilt offering for the sin he committed two doves or two young pigeons for Adonai. The one is a sin offering, the other is a burnt offering. He is to bring them to the Kohen, who will offer the one for a sin offering first. He is to wring its neck but not remove the head. So a couple of things here. First of all, again, we see this theme that even the poor are encouraged, you see, to repent of their sins and that God will receive them. It's not the value of what they can bring, but it's the value before God of their repentant soul and their conscience. The care and the acceptance on an equal level of the poor. But also that the sin offering comes first. Before we worship, before we thank him with burnt offerings and peace offerings, resolve the sin that's going on. Deal with it first. Yeshua also would echo this teaching when he said, when you go to worship or leave your gifts at the altar and you remember that somebody has something against you, go and reconcile first. Then come and resume your act of worship. Resolving the sin, the repentance of sin, reconciliation with people who you may have wronged should come first and be the priority. And finally, verse 10, he is to prepare the second as a burnt offering in the manner prescribed. Thus the Kohen will make atonement for him in regard to the sin which he committed, and he will be forgiven. Torah 101 Daily.